Good morning. My name is Justin, and I'm the pastor of English and Youth Ministries here. And you've chosen a great Sunday to be with us for a couple of reasons. First, this is the last Sunday that our youth are selling for fundraising, special food during lunch, and so that's always a win. In addition, this is our missions conference weekend, and it's been a full weekend. We started Friday night with a special gathering with our students, with our youth, and yesterday we had an equally full day during the day in which we not just learned about missions, but we're able to hear from some of our own missionaries who, some of them came from very far, to join us and share not only about their ministry, but really edify us and build us up. And one of those speakers is actually our guest speaker this morning. He shared yesterday about apostolic prayer and how to involve that in your own life. And we're blessed when he and his wife and his eldest son really led us to experience that. And I think for many people, it was really edifying and very encouraging. And so we're thankful that he is able to come again this morning and encourage us therein. So I've known him for a number of years, actually since last century. We went to undergrad together, and after we graduated, went our separate ways, but then reconnected back in 2004 when he had just returned from China, and he was gracious enough to come and to serve with us in the youth ministry, some good memories there. Since then, he and his wife have connected with the ministry in Kansas City that we're going to hear about in a moment. One housekeeping note, his sermon this morning has really good notes, probably more than he's going to share with us this morning. And so if you want to find those notes, if you scan that QR code, it, as normal, goes to our digital bulletin. And from there, you can actually download the PDF. It has a fully orbed fleshing out of what he's going to share this morning. So he's going to come and share about the ministry a little bit, and then we're going to preach and walking through 2 Corinthians. So would you join me then in welcoming my friend and yours, Brian Buesen.
Good morning. Ooh, all right, thank you guys. Mic is great, it's on. Good morning, great to see you all. Great to be with you this morning. And I'm really grateful to be here. I really enjoyed the missions conference, some of the things I heard from other missionaries. I'm so encouraged by the vast variety of missions work this church sponsors. And it really helped me as a missionary just to see the other missionaries that this church sponsors and supports and just as see the bigger picture. And also, I was really touched by the stewardship, the discipline, and the integrity that, like, the missions board and the whole church that you guys have in supporting missions and God's work in different places around the world. It's really an honor to be one of those missionaries. So thank you. Our family feels very encouraged and supported by this church through friendship and many other ways. I wanted just to highlight, maybe for 5 minutes, a little bit about our mission organization. And we were here last year. Maybe is that the same guy? That's me. And we came, and I can't remember which service, but our youngest son, who's not here, he did pull down his pants on the stage. So if you remember that, that was our family. Maybe I shouldn't have drawn attention to that. But anyways, I wanted to show you a little bit about our mission organization. And it's the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. I just wanted to quickly tell you that this is really new in church history. No other time, not even since the age of the apostles, has there been prayer and worship going on simultaneously around the world ever, you know, even since the time of Jesus. And there's passages in the Bible that talk about that. And so just in the last 30 or 40 years, there's about 20,000 and more places of prayer in churches, running prayer services, as well as places just never ending in different countries. And you're like, well, why is that important? Well, it's important. One, for people's hearts are getting touched because they see the worth of Jesus. And Jesus is worshiped in heaven like that. So they're wanting to bring his kingdom on earth. But also, it's not only an expression of Jesus' worth. As people are in the context of prayer and hearing the Bible prayed and sung, they're getting their minds renewed. They're getting their spiritual muscles, their heart strengthened in the Lord, so that as they, wherever God sends them, their heart is overflowing with the Lord and more. There's a depth there. In addition to prayer, we always know, as there's prayer services for revival, for cities, for people groups, God is going to answer those prayers. I believe there's a great revival coming across the world. And this prayer movement, as a part of the missions movement, is a sign of this revival coming. I don't know when, but I believe the Lord will have that. And so this is encouraging to me. Our ministries in Kansas City, here's just a passage, Isaiah 42, if you're interested, talks about worship around the world before the Lord returns. 10 through 13, you can look at that on your own. This is our mission statement as an organization. IHOPKC stands for the International House of Prayer. in Kansas City. And our community exists to partner with the Great Commission. Like, our unique role is advancing 24/7 prayer, so unceasing prayer with worship, and by proclaiming the beauty of Jesus and his glorious return. So strengthening churches that want to grow in prayer, strengthening mission organizations that want to grow in prayer, praying for outreaches, sending missionaries different places. We have you'll see here, so that's part of how we advance 24/7 prayer. We also have a web stream. You can get online anytime and just join people online that are praying. So, you know, middle of the night, you could zoom in at 4 in the morning, and if you want to pray, you start and be encouraged. And so we have people walking in from our city being touched, and so that's one way we're kind of partnering in the Great Commission. Just a few things about us. We've had 20,000 staff over the last 24 years, so a relatively new organization, just 24 years old. And in those 24 years, actually every year, we have about 25,000 families come through, and we have about, 234 nations that have accessed our prayer room online. So a lot of our funding goes to really state-of-the-art web streaming, multiple camera angles, audio, so that people can really enjoy high quality when they're listening and praying online with us. And then we've got 4 different prayer rooms in Kansas City, and, you know, it's kind of hard to think about, but since the last 24 years, about 20 million hours of prayer and worship. I mean, that's pretty encouraging to me. And, of course, these prayers are for the nations, you know, for God's work. And so, of course, your church, by sponsoring us and helping us, you're contributing to this. So I just want to say thank you. One thing unique to the Chinese-speaking world, we have a 4-year Bible college and a music school. So people can learn how to do prayer with worship, with music. And so I'd say half of our students are internationals. But we also, it's very unique, we're very proud of this. We've had for maybe 8 years a all-Chinese, Mandarin-speaking school for a Bible, locally, 1-year Bible program, and 1-year worship program. And we've even, during COVID, expanded it online. So we've seen hundreds come through over the years, going back into the underground church in China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, strengthening their local churches in prayer and in vibrant hearts. And so we've been a way to contribute just all across Asia to Chinese speakers. And so my wife's not here right now. She's with our youngest, but she's running online prayer rooms all over Zoom. It's kind of crazy. You can only do one musician, because if you do two from different countries, they kind of the lag, so they kind of can't really play together. She tried that. And it's like doesn't work. But you can host these prayer rooms of 7 or 8 people, and she'll do these 8-week little tracks, and just you guys know there's Chinese everywhere around the world, right? So it's a beautiful thing. And so she's had like 7 or 8 nations represented in her prayer rooms that she's doing on her own. So it's just encouraging seeing people's heart coming alive for Jesus wherever the Lord's put them. So that's one of her classes from a few years ago. So, you know, there you go. A lot of pianos in a room. You know, I remember the first time I walked in one, there's like 20 pianos in a room. I'm like, I've never seen so many keyboards. But it's just fun to watch. So these just some of the young people, we have a lot of young people coming through. If you can see me, it's kind of like, where's Waldo? But I'm in there in the back somewhere with a happy face. But we love to train young people and send them out and get full of God's heart for who they are. And that's one of our prayer rooms. And this is one of our Chinese prayer sets here. Just want to give you a few pictures of that. So anyways, thanks again. That's a little bit of a snapshot of our organization. And we're so happy to partner together with this church. And we just love our friendships here. So let me pray, and I want to jump into today's topic, which I've really been touched by this topic, and maybe this topic is, I hope, helpful to look at your life in the big picture. We're going big picture for the next 25 minutes, and kind of looking at the end, so how we walk out the rest of our life. Going with the goal, what's our goal here as believers? And so I want to pray for us, and Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name, would you fill us with the knowledge of your will? And strengthen us, Lord, and bless us to get your heart for standing before you and seeing you face to face. We ask in your name. Amen. Now, if you're a seeker here today, I just want to say welcome. If you're investigating Christianity, what I'm talking about today is a topic which I think is very important. When you pass away, what happens next? What's the first thing you're going to encounter? And, you know, every religion has a different thought on this. Buddhists, either you get reborn or you just, evaporate, you know, kind of go into nothingness, no consciousness, right? If you are a materialist, maybe an atheist, only believe in the material realm, when you pass away, you're just, there's no consciousness, you're just dust. But for the Christian, when you go into the next age, when you pass away, you are very alive in your spirit, you're very conscious, and you stand before a man who is God, a very kind man, a man that created you, who loves you deeply, and has a purpose, has had a purpose for your life, and he's waiting to meet you, is Jesus Christ, the one who died for you on the cross, and he is the creator God. Now, what do we do? Well, he's going, for believers, he's, since he paid for us with his blood, washed us with the, his very precious blood, we stand before him, but not for judgment or punishment, but for an evaluation, which is the scripture that our dear friend Mark read. We are going to be evaluated by what we did in the body, is what Paul says. So this isn't necessarily about our salvation, but it is about what we did with what he paid for, what he did with the life he gave us. And so I want to just highlight a few things. This is, of course, the title of today's message. We all must appear before him. This is the greatest moment of your life. This is more important than any job interview that you prepared for, more important than any college entrance exam that you've taken. Anything you've, you know, I know there's people in this room that have had to make a lot of preparation. My father was a doctor, a cardiologist. He had to pass his medical boards. This moment is more important than passing your medical boards, but those are important too. This is giving an account before the Lord. And of course, we looked at this. Paul first says, we want to be pleasing to him. In other words, we just want to have a life that we can look at and be like, Lord, this is an expression of my love for you. This is what I did with my life. You know, there's a Bible passages that talk about the earning the talents. Here's the talents that you gave me. Here's what I have. He also says we're going to appear before him. It says the judgment seat. That's really a background. You can call it evaluation seat. It's very similar to like the Olympics. When you finish running your race, you kind of stand before the judges and you're evaluated by your performance of your race. Like, how'd you run that 400-meter track race? And that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we're talking about believers here. And the Lord wants to reward you, actually. I don't know if you're used to this. This evaluation is to actually reward you so that there's things he wants to give you for the next age. This age actually is passing away, Paul says. This is a present temporary age. I like to think of this as like an internship. Have you thought about that? You are in a 70 to maybe some of you 90 year internship to prepare you for the future age when Christ is ruling on the earth. You thought of that? Everything in your life is going towards this moment. Well, what are internships like? Has anybody ever done an intern? Anybody interned after school? You know, interns don't get paid a lot. I've interned. You don't get paid a whole lot, but you get a lot of experience, right? You get a lot of, not only experience, but you get a lot of opportunity in that to learn something so that when you're finished, then you're ready for your actual job. I would say this life is more like an internship. Many of us look at, we put everything here. This is, everything has to count on this life. Say, actually, this life is all preparing us for what's to come. It does matter, but it's for preparation. Now it says, knowing the terror of the Lord. Oh, I don't know if I like that. Well, I think we have I have Bible passages on both. We don't have time to go through it all. We have the terror of God because we're standing before the Creator God in His majesty, the transcendent God who's uncreated. I think as a created being, that is terrifying, not in a way that He's angry at us, not that way at all, but that He's just so transcendent. He's anything like us. He's not anything in His power, in His glory. That's terrifying, but not to destroy us. He doesn't want to destroy us. He could have done that. We're going to stand before him. But there's also, I believe, what we'll experience, his overwhelming love for us. That he's waiting to meet us and talk about the different things in our life to reward us. Let's look at this a little further. I want to bring in just one last illustration. You're like, who's this lady? This is Wilma Rudolph. I'm not a big Olympiad historian, but I found her story very interesting. She was much like her life. Here we have, she is receiving her reward. And her life kind of led up to this moment, much like our lives lead up to the moment standing before Christ. She's born in rural Tennessee, one of 22 children. Probably not a lot of resources to pass around. Grew up in poverty, and she had polio as a child. Doctor said you wouldn't barely even be able to walk. And yet she had this drive. She not only was able to overcome that to walk, but then when she was in high school, start running and found out she was actually a very good runner. And in 1960, was the first woman to win 3 gold medals in the 1960 Olympics for track and field. She's a kind of a picture of triumph and perseverance through challenges to receive her reward. I kind of like that. Her family were devout believers from what I've read. And I just like her story because when I think of that, I think it's a picture even as us as believers. There are a lot of trials in life we're going to walk through. Temptations to overcome. Some of those are boredom. Some of those are the comforts in Western society. Those are temptations. Some of them are different doubts, different setbacks, tragedies. But to walk through those moments of either grief or trials and to bring Jesus into that so that even in the hardship that we grow in our relationship with God and our hearts expand in love. That's the goal of this life, to love God and love others. Even if things on the outside necessarily don't look successful, or if things don't work out, we can't control it all, but we can steward our heart and how we follow Jesus. And that one day you will stand before him to get a reward, just like she stood before the judges and got 3 gold medals. I want to be one that can persevere and not be ashamed and be grateful with the Lord. Now, I want to just highlight this. Again, I'm not talking about your salvation. It's very clear. Ephesians 2 says, it's by grace you've been saved. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works, lest no one should boast. So we are each given the free gift of righteousness imparted to us by faith. But we are evaluated by our works. You get the free gift. You're in the family of God. You've got salvation. You'll be with Jesus forever. But what you did in this life, you will give an account before Jesus, and you are evaluated and rewarded by that. He's looking for good stewardship of what you have. Are you following me? He says this as well. Here's another verse I think you're familiar with. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Now, just let's capture that phrase for a moment. Look how generous God is. He gives us a few things in order to bless us with many things. Does that make sense? God is very good. He's generous. He's kind, but he's also a good steward. He's not going to just give everything away to someone that hasn't proven or shown good stewardship. He's looking for what we've done in this life, but he's generous. He's a good God. And he says, enter into the joy. Friends, when you stand before Jesus and you get reward, there will be a joy for overcoming things in this life that might have been hard in this life. He says he's going to wipe away every tear, and there's a joy of Jesus that you will experience into eternity by how, you know, you walked in this life with him. What are some of the things he's given you? He said, be faithful with a few things in Matthew 25. What has he given you? Let's just look at this, because I think you might think, well, what is, maybe just thinking money. Maybe you're just thinking, like, the one thing that you're good at. Let's take a look at a variety of things I think we have been entrusted with by Jesus. First, his capacities. Have you thought about this? We each in this room have different emotional, psychological, spiritual, and physical capacities. Like there's probably someone in this room that can do, 100 push-ups in a minute, maybe 2 minutes. Who's that person? Raise your hand. Come on, let's see those muscles. All right, good, because you don't want to do that. I know, we would all see it after church, so we're not going to do that. But there's different people with physical capacities. I don't have the same capacity as somebody else, right? I am not going to be evaluated by Justin's physical capacities, right? God's going to evaluate me on mine, like how much sleep I need, how much energy I have, you know, how that impacts me being a parent, being in work. He's evaluating my physical frame with even the health or physical or illnesses I went through in life. He's evaluating me on that. Emotional. Some of us are great feelers. You're like really good at able to connect with others and hear them and make them, experience and sympathize with them emotionally. You've got a greater emotional capacity. Some of you could express your emotions for hours. I'm like you. Some of you may be married to someone that maybe in 2 minutes, they're done talking about their emotions. They're good. My point is we all have different capacities. The Lord's going to reward us in what we did with those capacities. Think about abilities, many different abilities in this room, natural abilities, spiritual gifting, or just anointing in the things we do. Some of you are good leaders. You're naturally at gathering people, communicating, casting vision. That is a gift. That's something, the ability God's giving you. Some of you are very good at focusing and producing something, building something. That's a natural ability. And now we could go on and on. But whatever it is, I like about this is when we stand before Jesus, no matter what hardship we had in life, no matter what we've been through, we're not evaluated on what we didn't get or what we didn't have. We're evaluated on what we did experience. So folks, we can't control the things that happen to us in life, whether it's something challenging or whether it's something we like, but we can control how we respond to it. And that's how we're being evaluated. This, to me, is very liberating. I don't have to compare myself with anybody else. I don't have to look over at another believer and be like, well, God, you gave them this, you gave them that. Well, I wish my life was this and that and this, because when I go before the Lord, we're going to talk about not what they had, we're going to talk about what the Lord gave me and what I did with it. And if I'm faithful with a few things, he says, I'm going to give you more. I'm going to bless you. This is very liberating. I think, in a sense, this is justice. It's because if there's something in life that wasn't fair, when I meet Jesus, he's going to make it fair because I'm getting evaluated on what I did with what I had. I am so grateful for this in a way. Resources. Have you thought about your greatest resource? Probably is your time. I think the older you get, you realize that. You know, I remember at a younger age, it's like, you just somehow, you know, I mean, I maybe do it again, but like college, you know, in college, and college break, man, I am sleeping for a whole week. But like the older you get, you realize every little moment's important. What I'm doing with my time, that's a resource. Money, energy, even our words. Have you thought about the words you use? That it's unique for us as humans. We're the only thing on this earth that can speak words to bring life to others or to tear others down. And we are the ones to get to speak that. Our words, in fact, are a great resource. Influence, authority, these are, I think, the things the Lord will be looking at. So I love that about the Lord. He says again, if you're faithful over a few things, I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Here's another thing about Jesus. Even the small moments, even the moments that seem insignificant to you, perhaps things you even forgot about, God didn't forget. He remembers. It could have been that one time you paid for someone's meal. That one time you pursued someone that needed a friend and you went to their home and you brought them a meal, or you were visited them in the hospital. God said, I saw that action of kindness that was for love. He says, even a cup of cold water, look at the end of the verse, he shall no means lose his reward. Even a cup of cold water in Jesus' day, that person, Jesus noticed that. There's books that are in heaven, I believe, and maybe that's some angels' jobs to write down everything. But there are books, several places in the Bible, that talk about things are recorded. But your life's recorded before the Lord, and they were going to bring those books up and read those things, and there'll be things that you forgot about, and the Lord will reward you, and it'll completely, and here's the deal, it will touch you deeply because it will show you how God felt about your life and your choices. It will mean a lot to you. It'll mean more than you think. Have Jesus saying, well done, or thank you for loving that person. You know, we all have people in life that maybe make our life difficult. Could be a sibling or a family member. It could be someone at work. But I think even how we treat those around us that frustrate us or make life hard, if we bless them, try to think of the good things, speak those over them, speak those good things around them when they're not there. Things, even if there's five things they're doing that we don't like that maybe are bad, we think of the one thing that they're doing that is positive, and we speak that about them when they're not there. We pray for them. God says that's blessing your enemies. I believe that's even other ways the Lord will. He's noticing. Even a small thing God will reward. I love that about him. Here in a minute, I want to look at eternal rewards here. In 1 minute, here's one last thing. 1 Corinthians 3. Again, this theme is throughout Scripture, and before I look at that, Jesus used this to motivate his disciples. You may think, well, I don't want to really think about this. It's actually very biblical. The disciples say, Lord, and I have this in the notes, you can look online. They said, well, Lord, we've left everything. What are you going to give us? He's like, I'm going to let you judge the 12 tribes of Israel if you overcome, if you follow me. He used rewards as a way to motivate his disciples. Some people kind of get offended. They're like, well, I'm not going to be motivated by reward. I'm just going to do it because I love Jesus. I think we should do it because we love Jesus. I do. But he still used rewards to motivate people. And if Jesus used rewards, and it's throughout the Gospels and his teachings, I think it's important to think about. And I think rewards help us align our heart to what God values. I think it helps us to motivate us in seasons of boredom or being mundane that God's watching, and we've got a goal here. And I think it helps us sustain obedience before the Lord too. It's one of the factors. Here in 1 Corinthians 3, he does have a caution here. He says, everyone's work, he's talking about believers, in which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. So that means if it endures, that means there's some things that won't endure. I think that's things in our life that we did that maybe we shouldn't have done as a believer. Things we shouldn't have said. Things we shouldn't have focused on. Because we knew in our heart it wasn't the right thing to do, but we did it anyways because we thought we wanted to do it for whatever purpose for ourselves. God says, if anyone's work is burned, I don't want my work to be burned up. I don't want that in my life. He will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved. So we're not talking about salvation, but there is a place where we could lose our reward, lose the things that were built our life on. I look at the thief on the cross. Jesus is dying on the cross. The thief says, he told the other thief, hey, stop cussing and mocking Jesus because he didn't deserve this. And he looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, you know, can I be with you where you're going? And Jesus said, today you will what? Be with me in paradise. So by the confession of his mouth that Jesus was Lord, the thief was saved. I'm not sure what reward he has, but I think he's very happy. I think he's got his salvation secure, but I don't think he's got a big reward. I don't know. I'm not the judge. I'm not standing in the judge's seat, but I'm just thinking he came in, but he's very grateful. I think we'll all be very joyful and grateful, but I don't want to suffer loss. Are you following me? This theme is throughout the New Testament, and as believers, I just want to put this before you and us, before us, to encourage us and to strengthen us. Now, I want to highlight now, if you're into this and you'd like to know more, there's a few more pages of notes where I go through about 10 types of eternal rewards. Now, we just talked about being evaluated here for the last 15, 20 minutes. I want to spend 5 minutes, which I'd love to do a lot more, but at least 5 minutes to look at the types of rewards. because they're all throughout the Bible. They're saturated throughout the Bible. And if you'd like to know these more, you can get on the notes, look at the Bible passages. You don't have to take my word for it. Study it for yourself and see what you think. Jesus said he's coming. Here's the first reward. This may be kind of strange to you. Capacity for God. Now you're like, what does that mean? Well, I think the greatest privilege as being a human being is to experience and know God. He told Abraham, I am your shield and your great reward. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. I think in a variety of things. I think that we have the ability in the human frame to experience God's glory and his emotions and his thoughts. I think of maybe one or two times in my life where I felt the Holy Spirit in an increased way, or where I felt God's presence, or something the Lord, maybe there was a time where the Lord did something in my life and a financial breakthrough. I'd been praying and he answered my prayer. I had this faith. I had this excitement. I'm thinking that's like a 1 out of 100. What if that's my capacity? I kind of built a little capacity of experiencing. Well, what if I felt 100 out of 100? That would be pretty cool. I believe those are little moments in our life where we experience God, and we're all meant to, that there's more to experience and enjoy in God. And in the next age, we will have more. I think we'll all be satisfied, but there's more, and there's an experience coming. And so I think our first reward is God himself, more of God. Okay, just a few more minutes. I'm going to just highlight two more rewards. Resurrected glory. You might be thinking this, but we're Christians. You cannot, to be a Christian, you know, we get baptized, we take communion. These things highlight two main aspects of being a Christian. You can't take these things away. One is the cross that Jesus paid for us, and we follow Jesus and carry our own cross of self-denial. So when we're baptized, we and reenact going under the water, being buried with Christ. But when we come out of the water, we reenact what? Resurrection, living the life of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection to come. Paul says if we don't believe in the resurrection, Christians are to be most pitied. We're the people of the resurrection. Did you know that one day when you stand before Jesus, you will get a new physical body that will never get sick, that will never be corrupted, that you won't have any more thoughts that are judging yourself or punishing yourself or someone else? Your mind will be completely renewed. That this body will be able to experience God face to face and not die. Like be able to be in God's very presence, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and talk to them physically. You'll be able to interact with angels. You will be on the new heavens and new earth in a new physical body that will never spoil or fade. This doctrine is essential to Christianity because no matter what you go through, God's going to reward you with a resurrected body. You're not going to float up in the clouds someday. Heaven's coming down on the earth, and it's going to be like Eden, but better. Like perfect environment, but you're going to have a resurrected body. That's amazing. I mean, you don't need glasses anymore. You can enjoy the family of Christ in a new body. I think it's something that we need to keep before us. It is a part of our rewards. That's why I believe all of the disciples, besides the Apostle John, I mean, they tried to kill him, but they couldn't. Church history said they tried to put John in a pot of boiling oil, and he wouldn't die, so they put him on Patmos. But the other 11 ones were all martyred. Why can Christians? I remember when I was an English teacher in China, in the city of Wuhu, very fun name to say, Wuhu, Anhui Province. I was there 3 years. In that city, there are graves of Christian martyrs that did not leave when the communists came, but they decided to stay. Both expats, like people from around the nations, and Chinese people that stayed in that city to preach the gospel, and they were killed for their faith. I remember seeing some of their gravestones there, and I remember thinking, how could they live like that? Why would they stay? I think in part because they were so moved by their love for Jesus, but they knew that this life is not all there is. They would get a resurrected body and live again on the earth. That promise is so anchoring to our faith. It's something to put before us. Last one here. Oh, and this is one verse about the resurrection. The righteous will shine like the sun. Your body, your new body will have glory, God's glory on it. It's going to be great. It's going to be better than, you're going to have clothes still, but you're going to have his glory clothing you. Okay, last verse is kingdom government. God promised we will reign with him. He also said, if you overcome the sin of temptation, Revelation 3, you'll sit with me on my throne. If you endure, you will reign with him. Again, this life is an internship preparing you to get a small role in a vast government of heaven that will administrate his glory in the new heavens and new earth. Like, there will be jobs, people. There will be jobs to do. It will be fun. This job will be a lot more enjoyable than the one you have right now, I promise you, because it's tailor-made for you by the Creator God. And right now, you're in an internship learning how to be trustworthy and carry your heart, develop your gifts to inherit a role to reign with Christ in the coming earth. There'll be jobs in music, jobs in education, jobs in the legal area. There'll be all sorts of jobs and leadership roles, worship roles. It's not just you playing a harp on a cloud. It is a human government run by Jesus with heaven on the earth. You're going to get a future role. And so as we look ahead to even just these three rewards, again, there's many more, just highlighting three. It's something to look forward to motivate us and sustain us in this life for meeting Jesus. Here's the last two questions, and I want to pray for us. Is there anything in your life you're facing now that you need God's help to overcome? Is there any trial or just situation? It could be, like I said, it could be maybe you're struggling with boredom. Maybe you're struggling with confusion. Maybe you have a challenging situation in life. God says, if you overcome, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to bless you. What do you need to overcome? And I want you to, last thing, imagine meeting Jesus with his eyes of love in the glory of God, waiting for you. After you pass away, if it could be some time, many years from now, but you will appear before him. Are you ready? Do you want to see him? And can you, I think, experience now some of the majesty, the Bible calls terror, the awesomeness of God, like at Sinai, but also the love of God, because he deeply enjoys you, and he's looking forward for you to maturing in this life and the things he has planned for you ahead. Lord, I thank you for today, and we bless you, and we ask, Lord, prepare us for this moment, and Lord, let this word take root and strengthen us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters in this church. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.